15 to 20 minutes, but I don't see Troy anywhere, so I think I can, I just, so yeah, I will try to do that, but we'll see how it goes. Troy asked me about 3 weeks ago. He called me and asked if I could talk about five things I learned as a missionary. And I was like, yeah, I could do that, no problem. And I started thinking about it. I was like, man, I don't know. It's not that I didn't learn anything, but as far as like making it five things, 5 points that I learned, I was like, ah, I have 3 weeks. I'll figure it out. And then about a week and a half go by, and I'm like, still don't know, but I have time. I'll figure it out. I'm going to Calvin Crest this next week, so I'll be there and just think about it, and I'll get it done. That didn't happen. So last night, I get home, I'm like, man, I really got to get this down. It's tomorrow morning. And it just, it was weird. I was talking to Don while we were up at Calvin Crest, and he asked me Tuesday night after worship, and we went back to our rooms, and he said, hey, can you give a message to the kids tomorrow? And I was like, yeah. And he's like, you know, just if something comes up and you have something on your heart, just go for it. And I was like, okay, yeah. And went and took a shower, and before I got out of the shower, I had the entire thing planned. I had everything down, and you know, I've given a sermon, and an hour-long sermon in the Philippines. They told me about it Saturday night. So those kind of things are easy for me to do, but I had 3 weeks to do this, and I couldn't figure it out. And so when I started thinking about it last night, I was a little stressed out, a little worried about it. But I think I started to realize one of my strengths is teaching, not necessarily speaking. So coming up here and giving a speech isn't something that I'm great at. But if it's something where I'm teaching it, something where I'm able to you know, deliver something that needs to be heard, it's something that I excel at. And so that kind of hit me, and I kind of realized, yeah, well, there's one of the five things I learned. So now we only need four more. I kind of realized what my biggest strengths are and what some of my weaknesses are. And I think that's an important thing that we take out of an experience, is being able to learn those, especially in the mission field, is learning that's what I'm good at, that's what I need to be doing. And these things I do when I have to, but I let somebody else who has that talent do it. And I basically realized, yeah, teaching about Jesus is what I do. That's who I am. That's what I'm good at. And that's what I need to be doing. And I knew that, but I came to that realization last night. And I realized the Philippines, that's where I need to be. That's who I need to be teaching. That's what I need to be doing. And that's just all there is to it. So, you know, what did I learn? I learned what I love. I learned what I love doing. I learned what I have a passion for. I learned what I'm good at. I learned what I want to do. And it's been hard being back here, and it's been hard having to leave because I knew that. But sometimes it takes a while to realize the things that we've learned. Sometimes we don't, I think that's part of life, is a lot of times, unfortunate part of life, is a lot of times we don't realize what we know until a lot longer after the situation. So that is one of the realizations I came up with last night. And I think the next point that I came up with was to never miss out on teaching something, telling somebody something that they need to know. And that's what this passion comes from. That's what this whole thing comes from is I'm a teacher, not a speaker. If I have something that I see someone out there that needs to hear this, that needs to know this, I'm going to say it. I'm going to teach it. In the Philippines, that's what I had. I was doing different feedings. I was doing sports fests where we had speaking afterwards. I was talking in churches. I was doing all these different things where I was talking to a group of people or a group of kids that I might not speak to those kids ever again. And nobody might not speak to those kids again. I came to the realization that those kids, this might be the only time that they hear a message about Jesus. I might be the only person that's talking to them about who Jesus is. And it was stressful because I wanted to share everything that I knew about Jesus, because what if they don't hear anything else? So I just keep talking and talking and talking and talking and talking because I want to get everything out. And I think that's so important for us, whether we're in the Philippines, whether we're here, whether we're working with the youth here, whether we're working with anybody, is making sure that in our day-to-day conversations, in our day-to-day interactions with other people, that we are taking every opportunity to share what we know, taking every opportunity to be able to spread the good news, be able to spread the knowledge that we have, because not everyone is as lucky as we are, as lucky as I was, to be able to be raised in a church, to be able to have people constantly talking to me about God. Not everybody has that, and I'm blessed with that. And I want to be able to give that to everyone else. And we have so many different ways we can do that. And so I would encourage you to remember that, to remember, don't waste an opportunity. Don't waste, take advantage of every conversation, take advantage of every interaction, every action that you can do that someone's going to see, to be able to show who Jesus is and be able to show them who we are as Christians. The other thing, so when I came to this realization of, you know, never miss an opportunity to tell somebody or a group of people what they need to hear, I said, well, I'm not going to miss this opportunity. We were in Calvin Crest this last week. We took 23 kids up, and our kids, and this is going to sound extremely biased, which it should, but it's not. Our kids, our group, was the best group of kids up at that camp. And it wasn't even close. It was not even close. We have amazing kids in this church. I'm not a business person. I don't know much about investments or anything like that. But one thing I can tell you is investing in children, investing in these kids in this church is never going to be a bad investment. We had 23 kids go up to camp and make a difference in kids' lives at that camp. There were kids there at that camp that were learning from our kids. These kids are going to be coming into El Portel. They're going to be coming into Escalon High School, and they're going to be making a difference in Escalon. They're going to be making a difference in our schools. And that was just incredible to see. You know, it's been an emotional year, just going through a lot of different things, and an emotional 6 months of coming back here, being somewhere I didn't want to be, and being able to head back, get back into what I want to do, and then again coming back here. And it's been an emotional week of seeing, just getting so much encouragement from these kids and just their passion for God, their passion of knowing more, of getting deeper. And it's something that I think we lose that desire for as we grow up. We lose that just child's desire to be with their father, to be closer, to be intimate, and just that passion that they have for it. And it was amazing to see. Absolutely amazing. A lot of our kids from our youth group, a lot of kids that went to camp, you know, don't go to this church. Some go to other churches. Some are from families that don't go to church. But just absolutely amazing kids. Mike has done an absolutely tremendous job with the youth group. And, I mean, however many years ago we had 3, 4, 5 kids, and now we've got 30 to 40. Amazing. So I guess I get this time to say whatever I want. So what I want to say is keep investing in these kids, because not only for these kids, but for the other kids in Escalon, for the other kids in the world. We talked about, you know, and we told the kids, we are excited to see what you're going to do, because you guys are going to do incredible things. These kids are extremely smart, extremely talented in sports and music and speaking. They're generous. They took other kids under their wings, brought them in at camp, and they're going to do those same things here in Escalon and as they go off to college, as they go out into the world. And I'm excited. I am very, very excited to see what they do. So that was my 5-minute tangent about what you should invest in, because it's not going to be a bad investment at all. These kids are just absolutely incredible. One of the things that I talked about, when I gave them their message on Wednesday, I talked about how as the image of God, the message over the week was kind of about this, we are the image of God. And one of the things I talked about is how do we represent God? How do we be this image? I gave a quote by Mahatma Gandhi that said, I like Christ. I don't like your Christians. They are so much unlike your Christ. And it's very true. And I think there's a lot of people who get an image of Christians, who get an image of a church, who get an image of what social media says this church and these Christians are, and they want nothing to do with Jesus. So many people out there don't ever see Jesus. They see us. We're their image of Jesus. We're what they see in our interactions with them either leads them to Jesus or leads them away from Jesus. And that's extremely important. And so what I talked about with the kids is three things we do. This is Filipino 3. I'm still used to it. Three things we do are our words, our actions, and our attitudes. And those three things are so incredibly important that they're all coming from the Bible. Not just our words, because if we're just talking our words from the Bible, but we don't back it up with actions, we don't back it up with attitudes, nobody's going to follow those words. It's going to have the opposite effect. And I saw that a lot in the Philippines, of people sitting there preaching, but not living it. And it has the exact opposite effect on people, because people see that realness, people see the fakeness, and they say, I don't want anything to do with that. Our actions are important. But if we do actions, if we give because we're supposed to give, if we give because we have so much extra that it doesn't matter, it doesn't mean anything. We're called to give with a joyful heart. We're called to give because we want to give. We're called to give because we're doing it to show Jesus. And so what I talked about with these kids is our attitudes can sometimes be the most important part, because our attitudes are what gets seen. Our attitudes that back up these actions, that back up these words. Anybody could talk, but it takes somebody who can back up that talk with their actions and then back up those actions with the right attitudes. And I think one of the biggest things that I learned there is that is one of the most important things. And unfortunately, I learned that by seeing a lot of bad examples. And that was very heartbreaking, but it's there. And it just, you have that choice of taking, seeing bad examples and either being upset by them or learning from them and saying that's what happens when you have bad examples. I'm going to do the exact opposite. So I encourage you, with that said, of those attitudes, of having that joy in giving, having that just patience, kindness. You know, we talked about the fruits of the Spirit, and those aren't just there because it's, you know, everybody loves fruit. Those are there because they are extremely important. It talks about clothe yourself in these things. And the word clothe is so important because we're not just, we don't just have them. We don't just take them out of our pockets and, okay, kindness. We clothe ourselves. When people look at us, they see our clothes. They see what we're wearing. If we're wearing those things, that's what people see. If we have to take it out of our pocket for this certain situation, people don't see us in all those other situations that we're in. It's easy to be patient at this one situation, but what about all these other times where people see us being angry, being frustrated, being rushed, being whatever it is? So our attitudes back up those good actions, which back up those good words, and people see all three of those, and they could see the realness, and they could see somebody who's going to lead them towards who Jesus is instead of away from Jesus. Another thing we learned, that I learned, is how truly lucky we are to be born in these imaginary lines that we were born in. And I can't, you know, I can't start talking about stories very much because I could go on for hours about different stories, different heartbreaking stories. But I did want to kind of touch on the Good Samaritan since we talked about it earlier. And it's, we sometimes are that priest. And it's not because we see somebody and we don't help anybody. It's because we shut it out. And being over there, one of the hardest things to do was not shut it out, because there's tragedy everywhere. There are things that you see that are just absolutely heartbreaking, and it's day after day after day after day after day, and it's hard to take. But as soon as you say, no, I don't want to hear that, because I could have, even now, you know, I have people that are there that I'm staying in contact with, and I hear stories that break my heart while I'm still here, and I could say, you know, I don't want to hear that. Because it hurts, and shut it out. But that shutting it out is just like this priest that walks by this person that's in need. We shut them out and just ignore them. We just walk by. We just go on with our life because our life is very comfortable. Our life is very easy. Our life is very nice. And we don't want to bring that heartache into our lives because it sucks. But we can't just go on ignoring it. We can't just go on saying that it's not there. Because there are ways to help. There are ways to be that Samaritan that opens his eyes, that sees the person, that helps them. And there's tons and tons and tons and tons of different ways to do it. But I think it's so important, as a person here in the States, as a person who has so much more than the rest of the world has, to keep our eyes open to what's out there. And the rest is up to you, but to just not ignore what's there. I will go into one story just because I can. But there's a, we worked with the indigenous there, who are basically treated like 50 years ago or 60, 70 years ago in the States, how African Americans were treated. They don't have the same rights as people in the Philippines. They don't have the same abilities to just go get a job, to do whatever they want. They get teased, they get ridiculed. They don't go to school because they don't fit in with the rest of society. And so we've done a lot of work with them. One of the, she's about 3 or 4 years old. She lost her mother about 6 months ago. Her mother committed suicide because her husband wasn't feeding her. So she was basically starving and decided that it would be easier just to commit suicide. About a month ago, the father basically committed suicide. He's a fisherman. He ate a poisonous fish that ended up killing him. And basically, everyone knows that he knew that that fish was poisonous. And so now these four children are orphans. They don't have parents. And they're split up now to different family members. This little 3-4-year-old girl is being taken care of by her grandma, who is an alcoholic, who does nothing but drink. And basically this little girl was living off of mud. She was eating mud to try to survive. About 2 weeks ago, she was admitted to the hospital after not being able to move, after not being able to do anything. So they took her to the hospital, and she has anemia, which is basically from her diet, not having nutrition, not having any sort of nutrition. And basically what it comes down to is this child now has this disease that she needs help. She can get help for it, but there's no way of getting that help. She needs a better diet. She can't survive off of mud and partial plates of rice. She just can't. She needs medicine. She needs nutrition. But it's just not there. There's no way of getting it there. And this is one example. And it seems horrendous, but it's normal. That is a very normal story that I hear almost every day from a family, from a kid, from somebody over there that's going through these things. And it's so hard to be able to take it in and want to be there and want to not just shut it out. But as soon as we shut that out, we become that priest that just keeps on walking. Jeep just keeps on going by and says, I don't want to see it because it's going to hurt. So my encouragement is just to keep your eyes open. You know, it's your choice to do what you want and to help where you want and everything else, but just to not put on that blindfold and keep walking. But to keep your eyes open to what's out there and the tragedies that we have in this world and find ways to help. So yeah, and then the last thing, it's been 20 minutes, but this is the last point. He said 5 points, so I got to go with 5. Is I think the biggest thing that has grown throughout my experience is my faith, and not just having 50% faith, not just having 99% faith, but just 100% faith in every situation. And obviously it was something that, you know, I was decently good at before I went to the Philippines, which is why I was able to go to the Philippines. But as you get into those situations, your faith grows. You put yourself out there and you get in a situation where all you can rely on is God. And once you realize that God's got your back in those situations, it's so much easier to trust them going on. And so I have some lyrics, and it's from the song Oceans by Hillsong United. And it was funny, it was one of the only things that I had on my outline before that last week. And we probably heard that song like 30 times in camp. So here's the lyrics, and I'm not going to sing it, so don't worry. It says, you call me out upon the waters, the great unknown where feet may fail. And there I find you in the mystery, in oceans deep, my faith will stand. And I call upon your name and keep my eyes above the waves. When oceans rise, my soul will rest in your embrace, for I am yours and you are mine. Your grace abounds in deepest waters. Your sovereign hand will be my guide. Where feet may fail and fear surrounds me, you've never failed and you won't start now. Spirit, lead me where my trust is without borders. Let me walk upon the waters wherever you would call me. Take me deeper than my feet could ever wander, and my faith will be made stronger in the presence of my Savior. And if I could say one thing about just an encouragement, I guess, the more you push yourself, the more you step out of a comfort zone, the more you reach out and put yourself in these deep waters. The song talks about the deeper the water gets, the more your faith grows. The deeper you put yourself in, the further you go out on a limb to trust God, the more that faith grows and grows and grows and grows and grows. Staying in your comfort zone, you have no need for faith, because you're in your comfort zone. The further you go away from that, the more you have to rely on faith, because that's all you have. So that's, I guess, how I will end this, is just with that thought. So thank you for letting me speak to you guys today.